see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
This is the dawning of the angel of Larry. Oh my God, this week seemed fun. Episode 8. Only 8? I feel like I've been doing these for fucking ever. Oh, what is this podcast I'm listening to? It is called This Week Seemed Fun. Or you can say it as a question. This Week Seemed Fun. It is a supplement to the main podcast, which comes out every Tuesday evening, called I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman Podcast. I have been doing that podcast, a solo diary podcast, for over 3 years. God, it's going to be almost 4 years this year. But I thought, what if once a week for half an hour, I talked about the news stories that I care to talk about this week? So they might not be hard-hitting news. We're not going to get policy wonky up in here. Every once in a while, I could. But most likely, I'm not saying it's all fun stories, but you get the point. Go back and listen to the last 7. Why do I have to explain something you could research? It's only a half hour episode. Look, I've already wasted a minute 25. Pardon my inhalation of snot. Listen, I'm a human being, not a human not being human. I feel a sneeze coming on. I don't know what to do. We're just going to let it happen. But I'm not sick. I just knew that was coming. So anyway, all right. What happened this week? Well, I forgot to do this. So you'll be getting this on the 13th. So this is relatively a new year thing. This is from LUK.com, ELLEUK.com. And I know everyone always tweets me, what's the link to the article you read? Well, I tell you the website. It's on in the name of the article. You can't Google it. I'll start putting links on this fucking site. Give me more to do, why don't you? LUK.com, and the article is called The Age of Aquarius, Leaving 2016 and Entering a Period of Revolution. This is kind of exciting. Now, I know you may not believe in horoscopes, you may not believe in astrology, but I don't know, is it up to you to believe in it? It is a science. It may not be accurate, but isn't that most science is accurate, I understand that, but certain sciences are theories until they become proven. And why are we so down on astrology? Maybe we just haven't proven it yet, but I think there's something to it. I think it's a fun thing to think about. Why not? Why not? You can think about anything you want. And then when you're done thinking about it, you can stop thinking about it and go back to thinking about whatever dumb shit you think about. So enjoy this article. So the 11th sign of the zodiac is now controlling the cosmos. I guess that's the Aquarian sign, Aquarius. Which means we're entering a period of revolution fueled by invention, social media brazenness, and free sexuality, say astrologers. The question is, are you ready for it? So it is no secret the world is quickly changing. An evolution of consciousness is occurring as we transition into a new era. Now, as I'm sitting here reading this, I'm like, Jesus Christ, haven't we done this enough already? Do we have to keep, you know, we always say this about generations, like, oh, when the old people die off, we'll finally have freedom and peace and love and no racism. We said that in the 60s. Well, those people should be dead by now. Or at least too old to vote or wipe themselves. So who's causing all the trouble now? The middle-aged people now. Some of them are you that used to be hippies. Now you're a-holes. And then some of you gave birth to people and you made a-holes. So we're still making new assholes. And that's the problem with this notion that the bad people are going to die off and the good people are going to take over. Now, maybe more bad people die off and then some good people are born and some bad are born and then the numbers sort of even out. But it is slow, baby. It is slow. So the fact that I'm reading about that we're about to hit a period of social revolution, I'm like, oh, God, I read about that in the 60s. I mean, I wasn't in the 60s, but in school in the 80s, I read about the 60s. And it's 50 years ago. And we didn't get it right. We haven't barely gotten it right. Anyway, let's see what the article says. See, this is why it might be fun for you to get into some astrology, because you can't wrap your mind around it. The illogical everything of everything. But then someone goes, well, the stars say this. You're like, oh, that sounds good. I'll just relax for a minute. Let your mind relax without a pill for once in your goddamn life, right? Self-described champagne mystic Shelley von Strunkel. No, I don't know what a champagne mystic is. Shelley von Strunkel. Let's go to her website. Because you're going to be like, how do you spell her name? You people exhaust me. Shelley von Strunkel. Okay, so her website, of course, it's her fucking name. SHELLEYVONSTRUNCKEL.com is a California-born sun sign astrologer with newspaper columns widely published in Europe, the Middle East, Australia, and Asia. She is 70 years old. She lives in Los Angeles. Okay, so this article in luk.com. Shelley is the woman determined to give astrology an upmarket rebrand from the realms of tie-dye and what she calls woo-woo nonsense. Sweeping changes are hard to grasp, but those who arm themselves with knowledge have the edge, she affirms. The 70-year-old is the go-to astrologer for the inside scoop on the cosmic phenomenon that's currently transforming the world. What's the proof of that? We don't have it. The appetite for insight into the monumental shifts happening in politics, business, and society is growing. Shifts, Shelley argues, that are the reverberations as we passage into the age of Aquarius. So what exactly is the age of Aquarius? Astrological ages are based on changes in the heavens known as the precession of equinoxes. This cycle, which lasts roughly 26,000 years. Do I look 26,000 years old? Oh, bless you. I'm 28,000 years old. means the zodiac sign visible at dawn on the first day of spring changes about every 2,000 years. During the Piscean Age, which is swiftly coming to an end, life was based on the pyramid. Every structure, from families to religions and governments, had a single being, person, or a deity on top to whom all those below deferred. Everyone knew their place. While this provided stability, its rigidity severely restricted individual freedom and limited responsibility. Now, I don't know where we were. Did you guys feel like there was a single person on top? We'll just see, okay. Now that we're entering the Aquarian Age, although astrologers disagree about the exact start date, explains Shelley, they do agree, however, that the age of Aquarius is about flattening the pyramid and individuals assuming more power. Well, geez, I hope this is true, because in our country, America, we just elected one person that 26% of the population is gaga over, and for some reason, their opinion matters more than the rest of the fucking population, even the dumb fucks who stayed home. And I tried to tell you guys to not do that, but you did it anyway, and what can I do? I'm only one woman with a podcast. And it seems like this man is putting in his cabinet a bunch of other men who want to maybe start a worldwide kleptocracy, but hey, maybe it's the age of Aquarius and somehow individuals will still have a chance to come to power. So, of all the signs, Aquarius is the most free-thinking, confirms Stephanie Iris Weiss, one of Elle's resident astrologers. The Piscean Age was dominated by Christian patriarchal system. The New Age is all about making room for a more egalitarian world. I don't see it, but okay. Aquarius, so maybe we need maybe if Hillary got elected and all the women in the world were running the world, we wouldn't need the push of the age of Aquarius. Maybe this is what we need to make it happen. Okay, so Aquarius is heavily associated with information and technology, and so the way we're seeing social media facilitating revolution is very much of this era. Okay, I'll give you that. Think hashtag feminism, hashtag Black Lives Matter, Occupy Wall Street and the Arab Spring. Yeah, but none of that happened in 2017. I'm just saying. The age of Aquarius, then, is about acknowledging the system is broken and, crucially, not waiting for someone else to fix it. It is exemplified, and they give an example of some celebrities, who cares, and also by 19-year-old Malala, a pioneering activist for female education and the youngest ever Nobel Prize laureate. And my, how we felt the system breaking down this year. Brexit, Trump, terrorism, the list woefully goes on. When times are tough, it's tempting to look to astrology for hope. Okay, let's look. And look we do. With a search for hashtag astrology on Instagram showing more than 800,000 posts, the commotion created by NASA changing the star signs recently shows how attached we are to our horoscopes. While articles on how to survive Mercury retrograde or plan a new moon ritual are all over the internet, as we search for answers by connecting with something bigger than ourselves. Importantly, you can be very much of the Aquarian age and not be at all into zodiac tattoos or celestial symbology. Look at Theresa May, says Shelley. Whatever you think of her politics, she's very Aquarian despite being a Libra, in that she's a nonconformist, a child-free woman who doesn't compromise her femininity and is in a position of enormous power. The next part of the article says, the end of men? In a rapidly changing gender roles, we can see the impact of the Aquarian age most clearly. Again, how? The structure of the family is being transformed. The man of the house role has changed as a result of women being better represented in the workplace, and now everyone is free to realize their potential. In the Piscean age, women literally couldn't live without a man. In less than 100 years, we've gone from having barely any rights to running companies and countries, increasingly living alone and marrying later, if at all. Okay, that's true. Still, Shelley says, there is a leftover and deeply unconscious component that having male approval is about survival. There is something that manifests in the assumption made by many women growing up, myself included, that marriage to a man, followed by babies, is the path to safety. Now that I've been exposed to new ideas, the search for the perfect male partner to provide security and children isn't so high on the agenda. The age of Aquarius is about making the most of our freedom while bearing the responsibilities for our own lives, too. Of course, the age of Aquarius does have a dark side. Aquarians are known as the revolutionaries and innovators of the zodiac. Susan Miller, the go-to astrologer for the New York Fashion Set, writes on her website, "The ancient astrologers thought of Aquarius as the sign of all things that are newly invented. That is why the age of Aquarius is linked so strongly to technology. Aquarius is also an air sign and therefore highly communicative, bent on gathering information. While there are huge benefits, technology is still becoming an extension of our bodies, from iWatches to a future where people embed chips under their skin. What? It makes me hope that women claim ownership of their bodies before they're merged with gadgets completely." Could someone explain to me how this article says we're in the age of fucking Aquarius? I can't read the whole thing. Here's Shelley von Strunknell's 2017 predictions. And you know what? I'll let her predict it, and you can revisit it next year. One, expect to see a shift in Hollywood movies, from violent films to those that emphasize the power of the mind. Two, with a greater sense of individual responsibility, people will resolve to look after the planet with care and compassion. Let me get back to that Hollywood movies thing. I didn't watch the Golden Globes. I don't care for any of that shit. I was in a bad mood about it this year. The fact that La La Land, which I didn't see, but I already know I hate, and don't tell me that I'll like it, because I won't, because I like real musicals. Like Cabaret. If you haven't seen Cabaret, you're not a human. Don't talk to me. Now, let me tell you this. I don't want to see a bunch of white people talking about jazz. Okay, I don't want to see a bunch of white people talking about jazz. If you see the movie Hidden Figures, you will know that that should be sweeping every Golden Globe and every Oscar. But technically, it comes out in January 2017. So hopefully it'll be on next year's. But who knows? Who fucking knows? But just know that La La Land is proof Hollywood ain't fucking liberal. Okay. Three. This is her predictions. Men will no longer be trapped by the need to be macho. Increasingly, they'll be free to access their intuition, express their feelings. Well, let's hope so. I mean, three great men that taught us things about that, George, Michael, David Bowie, and Prince, died last year, but maybe someone else can help us with that. Four, the concept of the boss will change. Workers will set their own salaries based on the profit they intend to make for their company. That sounds awful. That sounds like I've got to work for my money. Five, workers will shun companies with policies they disagree with, making community-focused firms successful. Okay, well, let's just, you know, keep those predictions in mind. I'm going to say I'm not that into the article, but I thought it was kind of a cool thing to read. That is what someone is thinking. I'm sorry about my stuffy nose. I'm not sick. I had a procedure today in my nose, and they put a bunch of crap up it. Now it's all coming out. Ugh, God, don't be human. In your next life, don't be fucking human. It's a pain in the ding dong. Okay. So here's a sad story. Here's what happened in India on New Year's Eve. This is from a website called feministing.com. Mass molestations show why we still can't talk about sexual violence in India. Now, I had an opportunity to go to India this December to do a comedy festival, and I didn't take my them up on it because I really didn't feel like traveling, and I was dealing with some voice issues, and I'm kind of glad I didn't. And it was also just kind of one of those things where I was like, I don't know, like, you know, do I feel safe in India? I'm not sure. And my friends who are from India are like, you're being ridiculous. It's totally fine. And I'm like, I know, but I read things. And they're like, yeah, but we read things about America. It doesn't mean everyone's running around with a gun. I'm like, but they are. But so in this article, with the onset of 2017 came a forceful reminder to women in India, we don't belong in public spaces and we will be punished for any attempt to inhabit them. A Bangalore Mirror story. That's a name of a newspaper publication, the Bangalore Mirror. And I was supposed to go to Bangalore on the tour, shocked the country with a report that a public New Year's Eve party in the heart of the metropolitan progressive city was invaded by, quote, hooligans who attacked and molested the women present at the gathering while threatening and intimidating the men and children at the scene with them. Women reported being verbally harassed, molested, groped by a huge group of unruly men, and forced to escape the scene of the crime with their heels in their hands. The brazen mass molestation of women occurred despite the presence of over 1,500 policemen deployed in the area who were either unwilling or unable to help the victims. Let's focus on that, unwilling. Police reported that they were outnumbered by the mob of drunk molesters, a truly terrifying reinforcement of patriarchal control over public spaces. Harrowing eyewitness accounts talk about the helplessness of witnessing police in action and the refusal of the police to accept responsibility for the incident. To add lawless insult to the injury, no cases were filed against the assaulters, leading the incident to pass through the justice system without rectification or punishment. The aftermath of the acts was both depressing and predictable. The Home Minister of Karnataka, the state that Bangalore is the capital of, G. Parameshwara, blamed the incident on, quote, the Western ways and Western dress adopted by youngsters. So basically what he was saying is, look what she was wearing. She was fucking asking for it. Really? So how does that square with all the women in India who don't dress in the Western way and who have been attacked by men? Politician Abu Azmi of the Samajwadi Party also offered his own admonishment to the victims, claiming that partying late night in half attire has never been part of our culture. Oh, but groping people has? Like, wouldn't you go, oh, wow. Like, okay, so people are partying in skimpy clothing. But geez, that doesn't mean people should start molesting them and the police should stand by. Why is that not like, hey, guys, if things start to change around here, if we notice a woman not in her clothes partying, you don't molest her. Meanwhile, the men of India, as men all over the world are expert at doing, instantly took to Twitter to disclaim responsibility with hashtag not all men. Oh my fucking God. The first hashtag to trend in India in response to the news of the attack. Men defending themselves. With the care about the women second. I didn't do it. Okay. So what are you going to do about it? I implore everybody to read about the phenomenon of not all men. I know I have posted this before, but I will in the middle of this interrupt this article to tell you one to look at. Just Google not all men. There's two great articles. One is Not All Men, How Discussing Women's Issues Gets Derailed. That's on slate.com. That's from May 27, 2014. Or Not All Men, A Brief History of Every Dude's Favorite Argument. That's on time.com, April 28, 2014. A newer one from bustle.com, 6 Reasons Not All Men Misses the Point. That's from July 9th, 2016. And then Think Not All Men, These 4 Facts Prove You're Just Plain Wrong from everydayfeminism.com, dated October 10th, 2016. So look those up if you're like, what's she talking about? The general response by the allegedly liberal English-speaking media in the country was hardly more conducive to a healthy conversation about rape culture in India. Conversation has primarily revolved around whether Bangalore was becoming the next Delhi, around a defense of westernization and against misogynistic victim blaming, and about the failure of civilized society to protect its women. Conversation on international news sites, meanwhile, has involved a reiteration of the same tired statistics and anecdotes about rape in India without a deeper investigation into the cultural context at play in enabling the incident. And this article goes on and on and on, and you can read it yourself. A nightmare. Okay, so we'll put that link up. So happy new year, everybody. See, not to everybody. All right, so maybe we'll talk about something happier. What, are you hungry after all that bad news? Let's talk about fucking cookies. Here's another new thing for you this week. This week, we're bringing back the Girl Scout cookie. On January 13th, which I believe is today, the Girl Scouts launched their 100th year of selling cookies. Now, I will tell you, I made it up to Brownie and I crossed the bridge. And then I didn't make it to Girl Scout. I think I chose to not. I was just like, this is exhausting. And I take dance and piano. And like, why am I going door to door bothering my neighbors? Like, it's, I didn't like the whole like competitive salesman thing. I'm like, I don't care. But we used to have to go door to door. There was no, like, you would be shunned if your parents brought your cookies to their office. And like, some people like, would bring their cookies to school and like try to sell it to, like, it was just like, bitch, what are you doing? You're not door to dooring this. Like, you would be, there was like a couple girls who had like rich dads. They brought them to like their law firms and they'd be like, I sold out all the cookies. And we'd be like, okay, but that doesn't count. Like, they technically won, but nobody had any respect for them. And now it's like, I got to sell my kids cookies. And the kids are on the couch picking their nose. Like, ring the goddamn doorbell to your neighbor. You know, in our day, we had a lot of widows in our neighborhood. And you rang that doorbell not knowing you might find a corpse. That's right. Her husband died 20 years earlier. It's just her and her poodle. You don't know what you're going to find when you ring Mrs. Stevens' doorbell. But you do it because you want to sell some damn cookies. Keep ringing the bell. Doors open. Do I walk in? Do I want to find a body today? No, I don't. But I want to sell some goddamn cookies. That's how it used to be. So this year's Girl Scout cookie season celebrates a milestone, the 100th anniversary of Girl Scouts selling cookies. Girl Scouts would begin taking cookie orders on January 13th and will sell them at booth locations. Well, we don't have no booths. Throughout the Girl Scouts Louisiana East Council's 23 parishes from February 24th through March 12th. I have no idea what I just read. There's a new cookie coming, the s'more, a crispy graham cookie, double dipped in a creme icing and finished with a chocolatey coating, is joining the Girl Scout cookies lineup in 2017. That sounds good. Anyway, these days, Girl Scout cookies are produced by licensed bakers to sell nationally. But in the beginning, Girl Scouts baked and sold cookies on their own. Okay, well, I wasn't part of that generation. They were entrepreneurs going back as far as 1917. I was born in 1919, so I just missed it. Since then, Scouts have been selling cookies to earn money for fun, educational activities, and community projects. Selling cookies also helps girls learn essential life skills. That's right, like knocking on the door and finding a body. Excuse me. Some 57... But I sold them even as a brownie. I don't know what I was doing. Some 57% of Girl Scout alumni in business say the program was key in the development of their skills, according to information from the GSLE Council. I wonder if selling Girl Scout cookies helped me as a stand-up. Like, just the balls to knock on someone's door and be like, give me money for cookies. Some of them aren't even that good. I'm out of Thin Mints. Give me money for the weird wafery ones with the chocolate stripe and the gross coconut. Yeah, pay for that, old lady on a pension. Did that give me the skill to walk out on stage and think I could make drunk people laugh? Maybe. But I don't get counted as a business. Do you understand? Business is like, I'm busy. I'm pushing paper. I'm typing stuff. I'm selling shit. I'm selling myself. I'm selling nachos at the comedy clubs. but I don't count it as a business. Anyway, everyone, quote, everyone has a special place in their heart for Girl Scout cookies, said Alicia Moore, Chief Customer Experience Officer of GSLE. What's... Not only do they taste delicious, but our customers know that by purchasing Girl Scout cookies, they are helping girls to fulfill their dreams, follow their passions, and change the world. To commemorate this banner year for the organization, the highly anticipated Girl Scout S'mores cookie will be making its debut, as I told you. The new cookie, baked by ABC Bakers, I don't know what that is. Again, as I said, is a crispy graham cookie, double-dipped in creme icing. They have the accent going the opposite way on the E. So that's French pronunciation, not creme, creme. Icing, and finished with a chocolatey coating. It is vegan. What? And free of artificial colors, preservatives, and partially hydrogenated oils. How is it vegan if it has a creme icing? I mean, maybe. But then it's not artificial colors and preserves? What the fuck? How is it possible? I don't understand. I thought chocolate's vegan, I guess. You know what I'm like realizing that chocolate is vegan? I thought chocolate was not vegan, and then there was like vegan chocolate. And then I think it just dawned on me recently, and I'm a fucking partial vegan, that chocolate is vegan. It's not necessarily always made with dairy. My head's exploding. Look it. It's called This Week Seem Fun. Not I'm a genius about things. The council will offer 9 cookie varieties. S'mores, thin mint, shortbread, peanut butter patties, caramel delights. I don't know that one. Lemonades, peanut butter sandwich. Thanks a lot. And trios. A gluten-free chocolate chip peanut butter oatmeal cookie. Cookies are $4 a box, with the gluten-free trios costing $5 a box. Wow, cookie. So they must have been. So what am I, 42 now? So when I was selling cookies 30 years ago, I feel like they were $4 then. Like they seemed more expensive than they should have been, but I bet they were only like a dollar then. And now that I'm looking back, I'm like, you cheap fucks. I should have sold all, like someone should have just given me $25 at the door and taken all of them. I wish I remembered what Girl Scout cookies cost back then. Well, I guess I could Google it. All cookie program proceeds remain within the council's jurisdiction, funding troop activities within the remainder, helping the council to maintain properties, train and recruit volunteers, and support council initiatives. It seems like the money just goes right back into the Girl Scouts. That's what that sounds like. Is anyone getting helped? We helping the homeless? We helping women's shelters? What's happening? Girl Scout Louisiana East serves girls in grades K through 12 in the parishes of Ascension, Assumption, East and West Baton Rouge, East and West Feliciana. Okay, I'm going to look up how much were Girl Scout cookies in 1986, let's say. Girl Scout cookie timeline and trivia. VintageGirlScout.com. Scrolling up to 1986. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da-da. Okay. Oh, Jesus. In 1984, medallions, Samoas, chocolate chunks, thin mints, Do-Si-Dos, and tagalongs were $1.75. So, yeah, 1986. So they were probably like, I guess they haven't gone up that. They were $2 when I was selling them. So they've gone up $2 in 86, 90, 60. They've gone up $2 in 30 years. That's not bad, right? That's like average inflation. But seriously, now that I'm like, that was $2. That is, you should have bought like 50. You don't have $50. You can just give me, like you live in a beautiful house in the suburbs. Like just give me $50 and buy 25 boxes. Look, I don't mean to turn this educational podcast into my own bitterness at my neighbors being cheap fucks and me not winning the Girl Scout sales competition. Ah, well, that's what we talked about. If you go to facebook.com/iseemfunner, or maybe that's not the, here's where you can find the links to articles and all kinds of things. If you go to the Facebook page for I Seem Fun, which is fb.me/iseemfunpodcast, as in FB, like Facebook, .me @iseemfunpodcast, or facebook.com/iseemfun. I'll have links to the articles reread tonight. There is more coming next week. There's stuff I didn't get to. Until the real episode next week, have fun.